Taste and see that the Lord is good. As many of you might know, John and I used to be in the bread business. We were former owners of Panera Bread. And when Jack was a very little boy, by the way, I do have Jack's permission to tell this story, his dad was away on an extended business trip. And so we didn't have our usual supply of fresh, delicious sourdough bread. Figuring it didn't matter much, I just went to the grocery store and bought one of those bags of bread that are pre-sliced from the shelf on the grocery store. I didn't even go to the bakery section. So I was starting to make a sandwich, and it was the kind of bread that when you try and spread something on it, it tears a hole in it, and that if you put something on it, it kind of gets squished into a mass of goo. You know the kind of bread I'm talking about, that when you open the bread bag, it doesn't even really smell like bread. It smells more like the bag. Well, Jack stood in my kitchen that day with his hands on his hips, tears in his eyes and venom in his voice, and he said, "I will not eat that bread. It is not Panera bread." We were done for. We had a 3-year-old bread snob on our hands. But he was right. It's important to feed our bodies with things that are worth eating. Bread has been a staple of diets for every culture and every generation for eons around the world. He was still hungry, even though I was feeding him bread. Taste and see that the Lord is good. A few years ago, I was in Nicaragua with an organization I'm a part of called Self Help International. My dad served on the board for many years. My brother serves on the board now. And we give microcredit loans to women. And so we were visiting one of the women there, and she is a bread baker. And so as we were coming close to her home, we could smell the bread. Even before we got to the behind her house where her business was, you could smell the warm loaves baking. And we rounded the back of her building, and we saw some of her employees, probably family members, rolling hand-sized loaves of bread ready for the oven. And the microcredit loan we had given her had enabled her to buy a mixer, a KitchenAid. She was very proud of her KitchenAid, and to get a really nice stone deck wood-fired oven that she could have next to her home that could enable her to bake many more loaves than she had been able to previously. She was very proud of her business. It made a huge difference to her and her community. And at the end of every day, she took these loaves of bread up to the road and sold them to the travelers as they went past, who purchased them for their evening meal. She did this every day. And every day, people were still hungry and needed to stop for bread. They were never satisfied. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In Jesus' time, travelers might have tucked loaves just like the ones the woman in Nicaragua baked into their satchels to take with them on a journey. It might have been just such a loaf that that young boy offered to Jesus to help feed the 5,000. So Jesus took those 5 loaves and those 2 fish, and after giving thanks, he fed 5,000 men plus women and children. He took the gift that was offered and made it enough. Jesus made it more than enough because there were leftovers to be gathered. When Jesus is a part of something, there's enough. There's more than enough. What do we do when people are, when we gather? When we have a Packer game, we eat. When we have young children or teenagers, they're always eating. It's an endless cycle. When there's a funeral, we feed people. When someone has a new baby in their world, We shower them with food and stuff their freezers full of casseroles and bring them brownies so that they don't need to worry about the next meal and they can focus on their family. We want to feed people because there's an endless physical hunger that is never satiated. That's how our bodies work. But we have an endless spiritual hunger too. And Jesus came to say, I am the bread of life. You will never be hungry again. In the opening hymn, we heard those words, taste and see that grace is eternal. Taste and see that God is good. Those words, taste and see, come from Psalm 34. And that psalm was a psalm of thanksgiving for when someone was welcomed back into a community. Maybe they had been away, or maybe they had been separated from the community for a time. And this was used as a song of celebration. Taste and see that the Lord is good. God invites us to taste and see God's gift of grace that is God's Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, in this text, invites us into community. Because God is different. Three times in this, just this small section of the Gospel of John, it says, I am the bread of life. Jesus is welcoming us into community. Jesus is welcoming us to be fed so that we will never be hungry again. What do we do as a community? We feed each other. We care for each other. Hopefully we welcome each other into community. When I was talking with the children, I talked about imitating God. That's a pretty tall order, to imitate God. But it's really simple, isn't it? The writer of Ephesians isn't telling us to be God. That would be disastrous. Most of us try to do it all the time anyway. We all want to be in control, organize everybody around us. Doesn't usually work. No, what the scripture is saying is to be the body of Christ, to imitate God, not be God. The instructions were pretty simple. Be angry. And anyone who is here who's a Stephen minister or been part of our Stephen ministry program knows that anger is a feeling. And there aren't good feelings or bad feelings. There's just feelings. But it goes on to say, but do not sin. Sin is an action, and it's our actions that get us into trouble. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up. In other words, it's kind of like my fourth grade teacher, Mrs. Corcoran, used to say, if you can't say something nice, then sit there quietly and contemplate your navel. Took me a really long time to find that part of my body. I didn't know what she was talking about, but I got there. But how often do we sit around in coffee shops or watching our kids play on the playground or just have a conversation with other people, and instead of building up, we're talking about the people around us or the people we work with or even the people we worship here at Grace. And maybe our talk isn't so great. It's not building up the body of Christ. When a visitor comes through the doors, do we welcome them in or do we act as if they're an interloper into our private club? If someone is in need and asks for help, do we question their motives? What are they going to do with that dollar I give them? Or do we give it freely because we're able? Would we rather write a check to a cause, or are we willing to get in there and get our hands dirty and get close to that person in need? When a child is fussy in church, or do we look around and give that parent a nasty look, or do we give a look of love and compassion, and then thank God that that family dares to teach that child about God's love? The writer of Ephesians, who we call Paul, but it may or may not be Paul, it was probably a follower of Paul, says to put that nastiness aside, and it's not easy some days, but he calls for us to be tender-hearted, kind to one another, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. And I wonder what this whole world might be like if I forgave you, you forgave me, and he forgave that person, and she forgave him, as God forgives each one of us. What if I forgave myself for something I did? Why do we do all of this? Certainly not to get to heaven. Certainly not to get closer to God. That's impossible because I, a sinner, can do nothing to get closer to God. Christ himself tells us that he is the bread of life, three times just in this little section. We do all these things as a response to God's love for us. We love others because God first loved us. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's really not that hard, is it? Christ gave himself up, his whole self up for us, so that we could live eternally if only we come and believe. In a few moments, you'll be invited to this table to receive the bread and the wine, these gifts of grace freely given, the true bread of heaven. There's no cost and there's no catch. We don't earn our way to this table or to heaven. That's the gift. Jesus is the Son of God, and he is the living bread of heaven. Jesus feeds us in ways that no delicious, warm, fresh bread could ever satisfy. So how do we behave as the body of Christ? How do we serve others this little helping of grace that God has served us so freely? We show up. We care, we pray, we read our Bible, we teach our family the faith, we feed the hungry in real ways with meals when they are in need. We welcome the stranger, even if they don't dress like us or they smell a little funny. We hold that crying baby so that that parent can stay and worship once in a while. Or we volunteer in the nursery. We serve our neighbor, we shovel the snow, we cut the grass. We put our carts back in the cart corral at Target, and maybe we gather up a couple extra too. We help at VBS, and if they have enough volunteers, we come and cheer on the volunteers and sit with those kids, and maybe we learn something too. Mostly, we give ourselves to God in grateful response to God's love for us. Not as a way to earn anything, not as a way to get anything. But we get this gift that God gives us, this gift of grace is free to us. And so we do these things as in grateful response to imitate God and to live in love as God loved us. Jesus is the bread of heaven and satisfies that hunger forever. Come to the table. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.